I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo.
A gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Good afternoon. Welcome to The Memo. It is August 4th. It's a hot, hot August day.
Too hot.
As Neil Diamond say, it was a hot August night. It's a hot August morning. What?
Yeah, nothing.
What? Go ahead.
I was going to quote a line from that sketch and then realized I couldn't do that.
No, you may not. No, you may not. I know what sketch you're referring to. I'm Derek Russell, joined
it's
by Brad Locke
show.
On The Memo. I don't know about that. I'm Derek Russell, joined by Brad Locke here on The Memo.
Yeah, I was riding with the windows down this morning to work, thinking, hey, it's going to be kind of cool. It was kind of hot.
And the flames were almost high enough to reach inside the windows.
It's so like 8 o'clock and it's already sticky up. Out yeah, there. Summer is stupid. I've said this before and I'll stick by it.
Stupid.
I hate summer.
It's like you're talking about an ex-girlfriend. Summer's stupid.
So dumb. Summer's gross.
So mean.
That's what the millennials
it's
say,
just
right?
It's dating Blake now. God.
Everything's gross. Is in that what the millennials like
I
to say?
I don't know.
Summer's
I
gross.
I try not to talk to millennials as much as possible. I know I sit between
aren't
two
you,
of them.
Aren't you a millennial?
No.
You're only 31. What are you?
I'm generation whatever that was. X? What was that?
No, I'm a Gen Xer now. I'm 40.
It's a pretty wide
generation
gap.
Y?
Is that it?
I think that's what you are. Or Generation Next.
I'm not a millennial.
Never really had it. That generation after Generation X. That
what do you kind, call those?
That kind of in-between generation. Never really
generation
had a name that stuck.
Names.
Generation Y, Generation Next.
Maybe it's Y. Ah. No, Generation Y is the, oh my God, I'm a millennial.
Yep. It depends. It's like,
I thought millennials was anything up through.
So my kids are Generation Z. I thought my oldest, at least, was a millennial, but she was born in 96. That says it's the Generation Z starts at 95.
It ends at 83 for Generation X. I just missed the point.
Who decides these things anyway?
That's it.
Who's the cultural...
Thanks, Obama.
Every list is different.
Who's the Secretary of Culture that decides this thing?
I'm not a millennial. I do not identify with millennials. That's like being from the South. I do not identify. I was born here and raised here. I do not identify with being from here.
I do.
Well,
proudly.
That shows.
So you identify as a Gen X non-Southerner, basically.
I'm neutral on almost all things.
American by birth, Southern by the grace of God.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Come on, Derek.
No, I'm good.
South is a fine place except for the stupid summer.
There's no stupid summer. Making it awful to live down here. I have nothing against the South whatsoever.
A lot of good things about the South. A lot of bad things.
A lot of bad things.
Yeah, that's anywhere.
There's a lot of bad things about it anywhere.
Yeah. Especially New York.
Is that another girlfriend you broke up with?
No,
stupid
no.
New York.
No, I just
hate
like,
her even worse than I hate summer.
And they both do.
I've been to New York once, and it was a fine place to visit.
Uh-huh. I've been a few times.
I wouldn't want to live there.
I did a stint out west.
You did, didn't
so there
you?
There was no humidity.
No, when you worked heat. For John Schneider?
It was heat. There was some Schneider.
You worked for Bo Duke?
Some DC Comics work. It was not nearly as bad.
One of these days, I'm going to do a whole podcast on your past career.
I'd rather
it seems
not.
Fascinating.
I'd rather you
yeah,
not.
It would be fascinating.
Stay out of it.
You're only 31 years old, and you're like on your third career now.
Stupid summer. That's just the sign of a failure.
No.
That's all that
you're a Renaissance man.
No. That's just somebody who couldn't figure out what they wanted to do with their life. When I started school freshman year, I was in criminal justice.
Well, you've also worked at the Link Center here.
Yes.
So actually, this is like your fourth or fifth career.
All right. Well, you just dig that knife in deeper, why don't you?
That's a compliment.
Okay.
You're versatile.
I don't know.
You always got something to fall back on.
Versatile.
This doesn't pan out, just go hit up John Schneider for a
job. I'm aiming for your job next. That's what I'm shooting for.
Well, maybe you can give me John Schneider's number.
You can have it.
I'm a big Dukes of Hazzard fan.
We'll share his contact information with you right
Share
now.
It on the podcast right now.
No, just with you. I'm not going to do
that. What he's doing these days.
Still I can acting. Tell you. But we'll save that for another day. We do have a full show today, though. Bobby Harrison's going to be joining us live via satellite from Jackson, Mississippi, as well as Dennis Sid joining us live via that chair across the table. Scott Morris will be coming in and tell us about the movie he reviewed this week, Jason Bourne. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about what you can do in Northeast Mississippi this weekend.
Cool, man.
As we do on Thursdays on The Memo. Which is brought to you by South, a locally owned restaurant offering fine dining and a casual atmosphere. Visit South on North Gloucester Street in Tupelo.
Okay, let's head down to Jackson on the sat phone. Not really. Yeah. On Chris's iPhone. Bobby Harrison, Capital Bureau Chief, joining us. Bobby, how you doing, man?
All right, Brad. How you doing?
All right, sir. I want to talk with you about a couple of things that you've written about that you can be found in today's journal. Some tough news out of Nettleton. We learned yesterday that several National Guard armories around the state are going to be closing, and one of them is the one in Nettleton. Been there a long time, Bobby, and basically it just comes down, they don't have the money anymore, do they?
No. One thing I wasn't able to find out for the story, how long it's been there. I asked Senator Hop Bryan, who represents that area, and he just kind of shrugged his shoulder and said, you know, from time immemorial, I think it's been there as long as anybody can remember, but it will be closing, or as the spin that the National Guard puts on it, the building's going to be returned to the community by October. Nettleton will be one of four that's going to be closed, and the building's going to be returned to the community. The other three are Grenada, Mendenhall, and Mumberton.
That's right.
The three that's going to be closed.
Right. I know the state's military had requested an increase in state funds. They had $8.3 million allotted last year, so they asked for an increase of $3.5 million. So instead, they got cut by about $500,000. So the legislature only appropriated $7.76 million, Bobby. So I guess that's pretty much where things broke down for them, huh?
Yeah, I think they said they could save $130,000 by closing these four armories, and you know, also in their budget request, they requested $1 million specifically for upkeep and maintenance and improvements to the armories across the state. So the fact that they didn't get that money, I feel, probably led to these closures. And also, as the National Guard pointed out, you know, the federal funds aren't coming in at the same level they were. So, and you know, and $8 million in state funds sounds like a lot, but they get a lot more in federal funds.
Right.
Those funds are not coming in at the rate they were, so that was another factor.
You spoke with Nettleton Mayor Mim Riley, and like you said, I think it's October is when they'll shut it down and give the building back to the community. What kind of impact does he expect this to have on the community?
Well, I mean, you know, he said he thought the National Guard didn't specify, but he said he thought that there was only 4 to 6 full-time employees there. And they do training exercises there once a month. So, I mean, you know, losing 4 or 6 employees in a town like Nettleton is not a good thing. He was also concerned about just the fact, you know, no town likes to have a lot of vacant buildings, you know.
Yeah.
Throughout the town, and this is going to be a pretty sizable vacant building. And then, as Hop Bryan pointed out to Brad, just having that close contact, the community with the National Guard is a good thing.
Sure.
It should be pointed out too that the National Guard said the employees who were in these facilities would not lose their job; they would be transferred to other facilities.
Okay.
And there's other armories in the area, including I think one in Tupelo and one in Amory and one in Aberdeen. So.
Yeah.
So there's other places that these people can be transferred to.
All right. Well, yeah. Yeah, we'll see what they can do with the vacant building. I don't know. Dance hall?
Yeah.
Maybe?
Yeah, dance hall.
I don't know.
that leaves the state with, when these close, that'll leave the state with 79 armories. And they also point out a story that in the press release that, you know, they're looking to close more. So, you know,
yeah.
I don't know what the final outcome will be of that.
Okay. All right. Well, let's switch gears a little bit and talk about another story you had today, Bobby, about immigration reform. Had a group gather in Jackson yesterday, and they're wanting Congress to pass a comprehensive approach to some immigration reform. They're looking at a pathway to citizenship for undocumented immigrants who are already here, expansion and simplification of the guest worker program and border security. And it looks like a lot of this just centers around migrant workers and their importance to the Mississippi economy, basically, right?
Yeah, that's right. It was an interesting group. It was the press conference was at the Farm Bureau, Mississippi Farm Bureau Federation, which, you know, of course, the Farm Bureau is a pretty potent political force in the state.
Yeah.
And then also at the press conference was the head of the Restaurant and Hospitality Association in the state, Mike Casham, and State Representative Joel Baumgart, Republican from Madison. And he was there as representing the technology industry. Baumgart Industries has been a very successful software company, so on the international basis, that he founded several years ago. And they were all sort of approaching immigration from kind of a different angle. You know, the farmers need workers to work in the fields, and you know, restaurants and hospitality industry need, you know, they rely to a certain extent on immigrant workers. And then the Baumgart pointing out that there's just the state universities, he said, they do a good job of producing STEM graduates, you know, science, technology, math, who work in industries like his, but they're just not producing enough of them, and they depend on these guest workers to kind of fill in the gaps, and they complain that the guest worker program, you know, there's quotas about how many people can be brought in, and it's very bureaucratic and getting those people in, and then, you know, there's quotas too for the guest workers in agriculture and stuff. And then, you know, they pointed out they had statistics showing that there was 23,000 undocumented immigrants in Mississippi, and you know, they're producing about $12 million in state taxes, and also, you know, taxes for Medicare and Social Security on the national level. But of course, they can't, you know, benefit from those federal programs. And so they're contended through their statistics that they're also contributing to the state economy. So it was all kind of interesting in light of the, you know, the presidential election that's going on, where the Republican nominee Donald Trump is making one of his main planks, you know, sending all the undocumented immigrants back to where they came from, I guess, and building a wall. And, you know, they tried to stay away from that. They, you know, I asked them about that. They said they weren't there to talk about building a wall, to tearing down a wall. They just wanted an immigration system to work. But I thought it was interesting to see those group of people pretty much, you know, of course, Joel Baumgart is a Republican politician. I would venture to guess most of Farm Bureau's membership is Republican, and you know, I don't know what Mike Cashin's politics are, but you know, probably a lot of restaurant owners are Republican too. But there is interesting to hear them talk about the need for immigration reform.
Yeah, and some interesting numbers in this story, including more than 63,000 immigrants living in Mississippi, and according to these numbers, they're 51% more likely to be employed than native Mississippians, and 74% more likely to hold a college degree.
Right, and that, I mean, that's, I guess the undocumented immigrants are a smaller subset of that group. And of course, you know, you would, and I don't know, maybe I'm, but you would assume that they would not have be the people with the college degrees. Right. Maybe some of them are, but I mean, a lot of these immigrants are, you know, are the doctors, you know, especially in a lot of rural areas where it's hard to find doctors. And so a lot of them are the doctors and then the STEM people that Baumgart was talking about. So, I mean, you know, when you talk about immigrants, you talk about a whole gamut of people, but the statistics show that most of them are working and contributing to the economy.
Yeah. All right. Well, good stuff. You can read these stories in today's journal or at djournal.com. Follow Bobby on Twitter at BobbyHarrison9. Thank you, Bobby.
All right. Thank y'all.
Hey, sports fans, be sure to check out the two sports podcasts we produce here at the Daily Journal. Prep Rally is a high school sports podcast with myself and Gene Phelps. New episodes air every Wednesday. You can watch the webcast live at around 11 a.m. at djournal.com. The podcast version drops later that day. You can listen to it for free in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com. Had a new episode yesterday. Blake Morgan filling in for Gene, talking preseason football, camp getting underway for area high schools this week. And Ole Miss and Mississippi State fans, check out the Double Coverage podcast. Ole Miss beat reporter Parrish Alford and MSU reporter Logan Lowry release a new episode each Thursday afternoon, in which they provide game previews, insight, commentary, and analysis on the Bulldogs and the Rebels. Listen to it for free in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at doublecoverage.djournal.com. New episode will be coming today, so keep an eye out for it.
Dennis Sid joining us now to discuss a few things going on in the community, first of which, we got a new Walmart.
Yes. By the way, I brought donuts today.
Yeah, sure did. I had one. Okay. Maybe two.
Yes, probably one. We have a new Walmart neighborhood market. It's the first in Northeast Mississippi.
Technically?
Yes. Technically. Yes, I know those smaller Walmart Express stores that closed also had neighborhood market signs, but...
They weren't neighborhood markets?
They're officially Walmart Express.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah.
Now they're Dollar General Express, which isn't a Dollar General already an Express.
Yeah.
But now you can buy Dollar General gas. But the Walmart that is open now on South Gloucester,
yes.
That is a neighborhood market with a gas station and a pharmacy.
Yeah, they're pushing convenience. Mm-hmm. It's like a miniature version of a supercenter, about the quarter size of a supercenter.
Basically, like an old Walmart.
Yeah, except with little added more. You have fresh produce, fresh meat, and you have the bakery and the pharmacy and the deli and the gas station, as you mentioned. I mean, it's a pretty new store.
No toys or tires.
No tires, but they may have toys. I'm not sure.
Oh, good, Brad. They have toys for you.
What?
Awesome. But no tires.
Then again, maybe not. I think it's just general merchandise. Forget the toys.
Never mind. General merchandise?
Yeah.
That's good to know. This opened yesterday.
Officially opened yesterday. Had the grand opening.
With the school opening at the same time. Coincidence?
Perhaps so. Speaking of schools, they gave...
Did they have school supplies? Because none of the other ones did by that point. So I guess you could have run by there on the way to school.
You can find combination locks, by the way, in the hardware department if you're looking for them.
Well, that's not all as far as the area goes. Also, it looks like Hancock Fabrics, the remaining assets have been bought up by Michaels, a company we do not have here.
We do not. There is one in Columbus, I believe, but... they are the largest craft, fabrics, hobby maker, whatever.
Thank seller. God. If we had that and a Target here, my wife would never be home. Sorry.
Yeah, Hancock Fabrics, they've officially closed all their stores now. Website is dead. Headquarters are all but empty, I think. And by the way, the headquarters has been purchased by furniture company Southern Motion out of Pontotoc. Court approved that. You can read about it on my blog shortly and in the Daily Journal tomorrow. But we previewed that a couple weeks ago when Southern Motion made that offer. But court gave its approval. So you're finding out the news first right now.
Seems like we can't find what you're looking for.
Exactly.
At HancockFabrics.com.
Nothing found, it says.
Yeah. That's unfortunate.
Shut her down.
So what will they be doing out of that gigantic, ginormous...
Southern Motion hasn't said, although, you know, they expanded into Baldwin about 4 years ago, mm-hmm. and they need further expansion. So I guess instead of building or adding on to the facility that they bought, they've decided to buy this even bigger facility for $9 million and some change.
You had that laying around. Why didn't you just pick that up?
Well, you know.
Imagine the laser tag.
School and all.
We could be doing in there.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, you didn't think fourth dimensionally on that one. Well, good news for the area. Things aren't laying stagnant, so that's always excellent.
Oh, indeed.
The light, I assume, went live in front of Walmart as well?
Yes, it did.
So there's that. All right, well, just good news aplenty from the region.
Indeed.
From the commercial region. And tonight you'll be visiting Salsarita's.
Yes, I will. See.
I'll see you there. It was bad. It was really bad.
We'll get fluffier. Yes.
Yeah. Very fluffy. All right, Dennis.
Then I'll upload it.
Thanks for joining us today.
Anytime.
Watch the Daily Journal's Capital View webcast each Monday afternoon at djournal.com. Capital Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison provides commentary and analysis on the issues being debated in Jackson. Watch live on Monday afternoons at 2 o'clock or catch the replay later in the day. 2016 legislative session has been over for a while, but Bobby will continue to provide perspective about the news coming out of the state capitol. Time now for today's news memo, and for more on these stories, read the Daily Journal or visit djournal.com. The Chickasaw County School Board took a big step in rebuilding a school damaged by a fire 2 years ago. Board members voted this week to advertise for bids to construct a new building to replace one that was destroyed by fire. Trustees discussed a possible 18,250-square-foot building with school architect Rudd Robison of Pryor and Morrow. It would include a computer lab, science lab, library, offices, and 10 classrooms. The one-floor brick building was built in 1935. The 2014 fire destroyed the portion of the school that housed 5th and 6th grades, the auditorium, an assistant principal's office, and a computer lab.
Itawamba County leaders are taking the first tentative steps towards constructing a new jail. Members of Itawamba County's Board of Supervisors discussed the need to build a new, larger jail to house the county's growing population of inmates. They decided to seek the advice of an architect about how much a new jail would cost the county. The county regularly needs to house more inmates than the current jail's 40-inmate capacity. When that happens, it pays Tishomingo County to house overflow inmates. County Administrator Gary Frank said that the practice costs the county about $180,000 per year.
When the firefighters at Tupelo Station 3 want fresh tomatoes or peppers, they are now only a few steps away. The firefighters recently planted a 6-foot by 18-foot veggie patch just behind the station. They say tending the small garden helps break up the routine and possible monotony of a 24-hour shift. Tupelo Fire Chief Thomas Walker said Fire Station 3 is the only one of the city's 7 stations to currently have a garden patch.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention have given Mississippi money to fight the Zika virus. WJTV-TV reports the CDC gave the state $400,000 to improve the ability to rapidly detect microcephaly, a serious birth defect of the brain and other harms caused by the Zika virus. With that money, Mississippi will be able to carry out population-based monitoring for microcephaly and other birth defects caused by Zika. It also will be able to make infrastructure improvements, provide referral of infants and families to health and social resources, and participate in CDC data reporting. The money is expected to also be used to help families affected by the virus.
Today's show is brought to you by South, a locally owned restaurant offering fine dining in a casual atmosphere. A lot of things going on at South. We got a new chef, Nick Rice, has been on board since last April, and he's introduced a new lunch and dinner menu and added weekend brunch on Saturdays and Sundays. South is also home to Tupelo's only Bellini Mimosa Bar on Saturdays. And be sure to check out happy hour specials each weeknight, and trivia begins at 7 o'clock every Wednesday. A winner of that gets a $50 gift card, so check out South on North Gloucester. All right, it's Thursday. That means it's movie review day with M. Scott Morris. And there he is. Hey.
No, it's Make the Podcast Great Day.
That too. Yeah. It's a lost cause, but hey, do each his own. Hey.
One of these days he's going to come in here with one of those god-awful red hats on.
What?
My hats would be crimson.
Oh, okay. There you go.
That's right.
Like I said, god-awful crimson hats on. Just
kidding. Roll Tide.
There we go.
Okay. Jason Bourne, he's back in theaters.
That's right.
It's technically the 5th Bourne movie, because he had the Jeremy Renner
one. Yeah, that was called the Bourne Legacy.
Yes, I don't know how that fits into the canon, but it was tied to the other ones, wasn't it?
Right. I mean, there was a little bit of crossover, but there are also parts about the program that had nothing to do with the other Bourne movies, so yeah, it was just kind of a... It was an aberration.
I got you.
And since Matt Damon skipped it, I almost skipped it here, but your erstwhile companion over there, Derek, caught it and said, "Do you want to mention this other movie?" I said, "Oh, okay, I guess
so." I was just trying to be helpful. I'm sorry.
Well, no, I appreciate it. Right.
Yeah, I'll be down.
Well, I made the change. I said, "No, I'm not going to change. Leave me alone." And I thought about it for a while. Jason Bourne. Let's talk about that for a while.
So it looks like it's got all... the basic parts of the previous Bourne movies, which, by the way, I love the original Bourne trilogy. Anytime that's on TV, I'm watching it.
They're all, and who go? You can't stop. I mean, they're on, and
they're good. They're all good
because he's a super spy who an assassin for the CIA who got injured in the first movie and lost his memory.
Right.
And so this movie's been him trying to discover who he is and also stay alive and also wreak vengeance in a cruel world.
Yes, exactly.
And so this time around, Nikki, who was played by Julia Stiles, I've always enjoyed her. She was in 10 Things I Hate About You, one of my favorite teen movies. Mm-hmm. And so it's nice seeing her, and she's older now like we all are. But she looked like a woman, a little bit haunted and on the run, but still had it going on. You know what I'm saying?
And Jason Bourne is obviously older, but can still kick butt.
Yeah, yeah. We know, like, in the first movie, I saw it this past weekend, they would speed up the action so it would look a little bit better. And I think he got better at the stunts later on. They didn't have to do that as much.
Yeah.
And in this movie, they really dinked up with the cameras to make it look a little bit faster, a little bit a little bit more destructive.
Yeah.
I was glad they did a movie somewhat. I thought, well, if they do it, I'm going to go see it. I was looking forward to going seeing it.
Yeah.
And when I saw it, I thought, during it, I'm thinking, they didn't really have to do this. And I realized, I mean, I'm fine with having seen it. There were some good parts to it. Some of the old Bourne is there. But, I mean, I think also some of the spirit of it, some of the character development is gone, and what you have is, and that was replaced by a car chase. Yeah. I was watching this car chase and just sitting there in the theater going, yeah, there's a car chase, you know.
I'm trying to remember, was it the second Bourne movie that they had a really good car chase where the guy, he was like a Russian or something, was chasing after him. They went into the tunnel.
Yeah. That was a great car chase.
The first one's a good one. Yeah. They're a little mini and they go down the steps and everything.
Yeah, and they had a good one early on in this movie with motorcycle chase early on. So there's some good old-fashioned boring stuff here, and then there's some stuff that I thought was over the top and boring, and then I felt like there were like three big set pieces. Like there was Greece, then there was London, then there's Las Vegas, and it's just kind of feel like they just built those three things and left everything else to kind of as filler.
Yeah.
And so I give it a C+. I mean, I'm glad I saw it. I would hate it to have not seen it. But had they not made it, I would have been fine with that.
Yeah, I mean, I like the quote you mentioned at the top of your review where Matt Damon a few years ago was asked about another Bourne movie. And he's like, what would we call it? The Bourne redundancy.
Yeah.
So it sounded like he didn't really want to make it, but, you know, he's an actor, and if they're going to throw millions of dollars at him to make a movie, he's going to make the movie. He's 45 years old, so, you know.
Relatively young.
When you look at Sylvester Stallone and some of these other guys that are like pushing 70 and are still in action movies, I guess he still has a lot of time left to make bank. But
I tell you what, nobody's ever offered me millions of dollars, so I don't know what it'd be like to turn that down. but if I had millions of dollars and they still offer millions of dollars, I think I would still be honor bound to take it.
Yeah, me too.
By my Depression era values. If you're going to offer me $2 million to make a movie, I'm just going to have to take that money and do that. Anyway, showing at the Malco and the Cinemark. And, Kelly Carlson liked it better than I did. She gave it a B+.
Okay.
And she had fun throughout. And I think there are fun moments, interesting moments throughout, but just coupled with moments that just...
Most things with Matt Damon I find pretty watchable. So I'll probably check that out at some point. But yeah,
there's a good chance it'll be on TNT forever.
Yeah, I'll wait for it to come to TV or Netflix or something.
All right.
All right, good stuff. You can find this review in today's scene section of the journal or at djournal.com. Thank you, Scott.
You're welcome.
All right, Derek, what's happening this weekend in the region, my man?
Well, there's a little something for everybody. If you're a fan of Hee Haw.
Oh, am I? No, really. I am.
I love me some Hee Haw.
I haven't seen that in
Shotgun Red.
2.5 decades.
The Tallahatchie Rivers Player production of Hee Haw starts today at 7 p.m. at the Magnolia Civic Center in New Albany. Tickets are $10. Proceeds go to benefit Relay for Life. 534-3438. Phone number for more details on that. Saturday, there will be a lighting workshop at Tupelo Community Theater. If you've ever wondered how they make all the lights pretty and light different scenes on shows, they're going to be doing a lighting workshop to teach more about maintenance and operation, really hands-on stuff at the Lyric, 9:30 a.m. Last a few hours on Saturday, 844-1935 to sign up for that. If you enjoy the saxophone, this guy's kind of the godfather of saxophone, if you will. Ace Cannon.
I was gonna ask you about that. He's been doing it forever.
He has been doing it forever. He's well known all around the world. He lives a stone's throw from here in Calhoun City. He's going to be performing for the Tupelo Elvis Fan Club at the age of 82. He was great to talk to. Ace Cannon's going to be at St. James Catholic Church in Shelton Hall on Saturday, 6:30 p.m. Tickets are $25 there. TupeloElvisFanClub.com to purchase your tickets and for more information on that.
He started playing at places in Memphis at 14 years old.
He did. He wasn't even allowed to be in some of those halls that he was playing in. But
he's now 82. He's got some albums out. I mean, he's... He's
a
real deal, man.
He is well known. So and if you say his name around here, obviously everybody goes, yes, Ace Cannon, knew him well. Knew Elvis, and Elvis is one of his heroes, he said. So he was honored to get to play for the fan club this weekend.
Cool, so, man.
Check that out, TupeloElvisFanClub.com. More information there. And like Scott said, the Bourne Identity sequel, the Jason Bourne. They didn't go with a...
It's just Jason Bourne.
It's just Jason Bourne.
They ran out of Y words.
That's lazy. Books go forever, so you would have thought they would...
Oh, that's right. There are books. Yeah, I haven't read any of those. You got the Bourne Identity, then it's the Supremacy. Then it's the Ultimatum.
So, yeah.
Okay, then it's the...
Then there was actually Legacy, was a book, Legacy. And they did that. That was actually about Jason Bourne. They just used the title. That was
the Jeremy Renner movie. Yeah,
but there's a lot more books. So there's more titles to choose from, okay. But apparently that just got old for them. Also, Saturday, if you're in close to downtown area, the Robin Street Festival, the Mimosas and Masterpieces, is going to be going on at 10 a.m. Saturday. And stop it, Cat.
Well, you're already being loud.
So. Well, I couldn't help it. It's a newspaper business, Brad. It makes noise when you open it. 50 different vendors going on at Mimosas and Masterpieces Street Festival. Live jazz music, food trucks, and mimosas, as it said in the name. So. That'd be false advertising if not. 10 a.m., just right in the middle of Robin Street in Tupelo. So check that out going on Saturday.
Cool.
Something for everybody this weekend, Bradford.
Cool, man. Hey, and by the way,
hey,
today's show,
yeah,
sponsored by South.
That it is.
It is a locally owned restaurant offering fine dining in a casual atmosphere. Try their cheap date night every Tuesday when the restaurant offers two meals for the price of one. That includes salad, sides, dessert, and beer or wine, all for $25 at South.
They have mimosas at South also.
And they have mimosas there. Mimosas, was that the Saturday? They have the Bellini Mimosa Bar?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, on Saturdays.
There you go.
Cool.
All right. Find us online, memo.djournal.com. That's where the new episodes are available to stream from. And also follow us on Twitter to find out when new episodes are available, at djournalmemo. All the stories we discussed on today's episode you can find online, djournal.com, or in your copy of the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal. And follow us on Twitter to find out breaking news, at djournalnow.
I'm
back on.
Got to give ourselves plugs here, Derek.
I don't know why, but go ahead.
At Brad Locke, that's me.
Sure.
You're at W. Derek Russell.
Apparently.
Chris is at Chris Keeper.
All right.
There you go.
Back on Monday?
Yep.
Do it all over again?
Yes, sir.
We'll see you then?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, bye.
Bye.